As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money, and consequently, that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you're concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, guys, you know I'm excited to be here with you and be given the opportunity for us to talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. It is important for us to be a part of all the things that are going on in our world so that we can seek to make solutions and be committed to helping those individuals beyond ourselves. I'm here today with Pastor Rice, who's here to give us some insight into the challenges of helping the poor and the homeless. And we know on our show that all people are important and that we want to make sure that as we support our government, that we insist on our government helping all people. And most of us are believers, and so we know that we can't reach our goals if we don't pay attention to those who are the least of us. And certainly we don't want to move on or act as though the homeless and the poor are invisible. Thank you for being with us today, Pastor Rice.
Well, sir, it's good to be here with you. And, yes, all over the United States, the powerful people are shutting down the shelters of the homeless. Even as we're speaking, hundreds of men, women, and children are suffering in this extreme heat. They have nowhere to go. We had a shelter open, and we've been doing this work for 45 years. They came in April 2nd and shut it down. They just put all the people out on the streets. We're struggling to get back in here. We've got a lot of programs going all over Mid-America, but at 1411 Locust Street in St. Louis, we're seeing the heavy hand of oppression.
So give us a little bit about your background before we get all involved into what you're dealing with. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was brought up in the poverty pocket of the United States down on the Mexican border. I was a minority. Hispanic people were the majority. I went on, and as I searched out my life goal, I felt that to minister meant to serve. And so I actually went 2 years in Austin, Texas, at Concordia University, 2 years in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and then at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and finished an interdenominational Christian training center in Fort Wayne, Indiana, was ordained. And my first wife, who has since passed away with cancer, and I started our work in a rented 50-foot trailer, and it has grown immensely. We have training centers all over Missouri, and our major facility and headquarters at 1411 Locust. Rich and Powerful started moving into the downtown area. They started conniving. They started manipulating, and they got the politicians on their side, and they actually stopped us from sheltering homeless people, and we're struggling to get back in and do that here at this facility.
And as you said, it seems like the government is all across the country bound and determined to make homeless people or people of need invisible. Here in Orlando, at one point, there was an organization that was going out to the local park downtown Orlando and feeding the homeless. And the government sought to shut it down and suggest that it was against the law for them to go out and feed homeless people on a daily basis. What is it that you think about the government that makes them so bent on making homeless people in poverty invisible?
Well, first I'll mention that this is not a Democrat or a Republican thing. The city of St. Louis is totally controlled by Democrats. There's not a single Republican in citywide office, and yet they're just as cruel and inhumane as any Republican would be. So it's not a party issue. It's a money issue, and it basically ends up being a spiritual issue. where people begin to worship the almighty dollar and forget the mandates of Scripture. Churches become paralyzed by fear, and the rich and the powerful just do everything they can to stomp out the homeless and they perpetuate fear to the extent that it becomes almost virtually impossible to open a shelter in any community because they say, not in my backyard. And as a result of that, unbelievably numbers of men, women, and children are left to struggle out on the streets and survive without a place to sleep.
And they seemingly always find ways to give entrepreneurs or business people a way of finding a way to start their business, or giving them tax breaks, or giving them loopholes, or even purchasing property for them. But yet they don't want to be a part of helping the homeless. That is the mandate of believers, isn't it?
Definitely. Jesus said, as oft you've done to the least of these, he said, even so you've done unto me. Hospitality runs a rich thread throughout the history of the church, throughout the scriptures. And we see in the city of St. Louis, the largest slumlord in the city of St. Louis is the city of St. Louis. They have a land realization authority, which land banks properties. It has 3,000 vacant buildings now, 9,000 vacant lots, land banking for rich and powerful people, while the police buckle down on the homeless, chasing them out of these buildings that are city-owned. The property of the poor is being destroyed and the elderly is being destroyed, there's less and less places they can find that they can actually rent and afford. Many end up in shelters, but now they're shutting the shelters down, so there's no limit to the wickedness.
And they seem to be being manipulated by the few hotels that will give them shelter, because most of the time these hotels are charging so much that they can barely make the daily rent. So even in the places that they're giving them an opportunity to live in, they're taking advantage of them as well. I mean, some of these places charging as much as $75 to $100 a day. And where is a person who doesn't have means have the ability to get that kind of money and eat at
well,
the same time?
They can't. There used to be what they called SROs, single room occupancy hotels, where a person could work all day and for $5 to $10 rent a place. Those have been destroyed also in the big cities. Yes, the SROs no longer exist. And so as a result, people, the best they can do is scratch out a little place to lay their head somewhere in some alley and hoping that nobody comes along and cracks that head.
Well, how is it that we built these beautiful churches and have all these individuals, elected officials in these churches, but yet don't see the calling to do the work of the church?
It takes newfound faith and courage to do the work of the church today. We have one lawsuit filed against the city that concerning the fact that they require your neighbors, our neighbors, to actually sign off. It's called plat and petition, to agree to whatever kind of ministry you want to do. So if they don't want you to provide a shelter, they won't sign the petitions. And yet Jesus tells you what you got to do. So we've got a one court case on that. We may be having to file a second federal lawsuit because the city refuses right now to even lay out the parameters as far as what we need to do in order to recreate the daytime services in here and the like. And so they're doing everything they can to just stop the homeless from getting the help they need. So we're going to continue to fight, though we have to. We have no choice. That's what Scripture told us to do.
And just as you say, all across the country, again, here in Orlando, they're setting up new laws and perimeters for panhandling, and they're getting rid of the homeless shelters that people can live at to create these new soccer stadiums and these Taj Mahals for entertainment, but yet no desire to do the right thing for those who've lost their way. And, you know, all of us could have fallen prey to being homeless under the right set of circumstances. So why is it that people seem so willing and able to close their eyes to what these people are going through? Some of these people, by no fault of their own, have found themselves without jobs.
Well, you certainly are correct on that. I think that a person has to experience it themselves in order to get the feel for it. Chief Justice Roberts had an interesting speech recently, and I'm not a real fan of his, but he talked to this graduating class saying, I hope sometime you experience injustice in order that you might understand how hard you got to work for justice. And I think that a lot of people, particularly your middle and upper income folks, they don't really understand the full ramifications of injustice. They don't understand what homelessness is. They're afraid of the people that are homeless. And any one of us could just be one paycheck away from the streets ourselves. A lot of people are afraid to think about that, but that's the reality in the world we live in today.
And it's so right. I can tell you that there was one, before my mother passed, she told me about, you know, she said there's no difference from a poor man who is one payment away from losing his house than a rich man who's one payment from losing the house. They're both in the same boat. And, you know, we need to feel some kind of sympathy and understanding for those people who find themselves in that unique situation. What do you say also about the people who find themselves dealing with mental illness that are homeless, and people are still not understanding that, again, this is not by any fault of their own?
Oh, well, that's it. They cut back the mental health programs so extensively. I mean, I can tell you some real horror stories that I've seen, experienced, because of people with severe mental illnesses that are out on our streets right now. And, you know, people are endangering themselves by continuing to allow their legislature to keep cutting the mental health service budget to the extent that they go in, that people got mental problems, go in, and then what they do is they turn right around and they come back out. I had a man that did that back and forth. I asked his mother when she brought him to us, does he have any medical problems? And they said, no, he only has a common cold. Well, he went out to one of our facilities and he attacked four of our guys with a chainsaw. He had such a tremendous mental need. Just a very sick individual released to the streets. There are many people like that in our society today. We are endangering ourselves and our families by not seeing that people do not get the adequate mental treatment that they need. And it's absolutely critical that people step up to the plate and demand that.
But let me ask you, Pastor Wright, though. There was a time when we had mental health, these large medical mental health facilities nearly in every major state, but they found that they were inhumane in the treatment of the patients, so they got rid of them. And so now you got these people on the street. So how do you find a middle ground to what we did have when you had all these mental hospitals in place to now you've gotten rid of them, but all you've done is transfer these people to the street and to the jail?
Well, yes, you're correct. Yeah, our jails are filled with people that have serious mental problems. It's a very difficult question. We don't want to just take the people and just shove them into hospitals and leave them there forever. We need to see creative programs that help people come off the street, come out of the hospitals, and live productive lives. But until that happens, they're going to continue to see people that are acting erratically, people that have not taken their medication, people that are having mental breakdowns, and what they do, they lock them up, put them in the local city jail. And that's not treatment. These people need treatment. They need help. They need opportunity to break this cycle of psychiatric homelessness that's continuing to eat up their lives.
And it just doesn't seem to be realistic to me that you can ask somebody who's sick to take their meds on a regular basis without any supervision. And we have people who won't take their high blood pressure, and they're supposed to be sane. So how could you ask someone who has issues mentally to self-medicate themselves without any kind of supervision?
Well, you can't do that, and that's the tragedy of it all. You can't do that, but they somehow think that people are able to, and again, it's back to the budget. They want to balance the budget on the backs of the poor and the elderly while they continue to engage in more and more corporate welfare for the rich and the powerful. As a result, they cut back mental health programs, and so many mentally ill are now wandering our streets trying to find some stability in their lives.
And then again, as we said, you have these people who prey on them, these temporary services. I know here in Orlando, they say some of these services charge them to take them to the place to work, charge them for lunch. And that sounds so much like the sharecropper who was getting victimized. That now we have laborers who are getting victimized because they can't count on anything if they don't pay these people to drive them to the location and give them something to eat while they're there working.
I agree with you. Definitely. Because, you know, people are locked in this cycle of homelessness. So many people are locked in the cycle of homelessness at this particular time. And again, it's perpetuated by the greed of a few. But judgment day is coming, and people better wake up and realize that God has called us to take care of these, our brothers and sisters who made in the image of God, who need help right now, who need help in surviving at this hour.
Yeah, it's difficult to understand why we are blinded so much. But you see it even in our federal government, where they're so willing and dedicated to cut taxes and give the breaks to the rich, but don't even want to give medical insurance to the poor and the homeless and those people who are disenchanted with their existence.
Well, we got to pray that the Republicans keep fighting among themselves and that all their legislation to eliminate Obamacare will go nowhere, because we can't stand back and watch tens of millions, like 26 million people, lose their health insurance so that the interests of the rich and powerful can be furthered at the expense of the very poor who are just struggling to have some kind of insurance.
All right, we're going to take a break now that we've gone to our first 30 minutes. Can you give our callers an idea of where they can reach out to you? And we want them to understand that there's a need to support you and to a call to action to do all they can to be a part. And most of them are believers, and we want them to be able to respond to your needs.
Yes, we need them to go to www.newlifeevangelisticcenter.org. That's new, N-E-W, life, L-I-V-E. L-I-F-E, New Life, L-I-F-E, Evangelistic Center, .org, and look at all the opportunities they have there, and please use the PayPal system. I mean, right now we're involved in a major legal battle in St. Louis. We need the resources. It's important not only for us in this shelter, but it's important to the religious freedom. Can we practice our religion in this country and not have to filter it through the interests of the rich and powerful? That's the battle we're having right now. So I ask them, please go to newlifeevangelisticcenter.org.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation with Pastor Rice in regards to the things that are going on in our country.
Just a thought, James T. Deshay. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshay2.com. That's jamesddeshay, the number 2.com.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the show where your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruption. We want you to know that we want you to be able to call in and share your pain, your opinions, and your thoughts with people across the country about things that are going on in our society. Ms. Cook, Ms. Hook, Sharon, what are your thoughts about what Reverend Rice has been saying during the show?
Good afternoon, everyone. Totally shocked to hear this. I have been, I'm still speechless to know that this is going on, that we are not able to help the homeless in different areas. I don't know. I feel like we need to, in each person's community, if, as I listen to the program a little bit more and hear him talk, to now I need to go out to make sure that this does not exist within my community. And if so, again, I'm just all about solutions and what it is, because my mama has a ministry here. I'm the director of the ministry, and we're not aware of this in the community. So I think that, you know, as I listen, what I need to do and how the ministry itself can get involved in being a solution to what's going on. So, I mean, this is very informative. This is a lot of news to me that I was not even aware of. But, you know, I do know that we are all a paycheck away from being homeless. And, I mean, I'm firsthand. When I was in Tennessee, I was renting a home and didn't know that the person was losing their home. And I moved there as a result from Hurricane Katrina. So I didn't really have, you know, like family per se there. And when we had to leave all of a sudden, I found myself and my children, we stayed in a bridal shop until, I mean, you know, we stayed in there at night when the bridal shop was closed, until we was able to find, you know, a place to stay. But to be able to come up with the funds, you know, it took a while. So I'm just, this is all, you know, shocking to me. And I do believe that we are all, you know, a paycheck away. And that's why it's so important that we get our financial situations together. But I'm enjoying, you know, what I'm listening to, and it's very informative.
Pastor Rice, can you tell us why is it you think that America can wave the flag of prosperity and talk about being the richest country in the world, but yet don't want to deal with the poverty and the sacrifices that the poor are going through?
Because actually, many, their souls have become dark. In Amos chapter 8, we see Amos talking about something that we're going to face here on August 21st, and that is an eclipse. And Amos talks about an eclipse, the sun going dark at noon to try to wake the people up, and declares that there's a famine of the word of God in their lives, that people, they become hearers of the word, but they're not doers. And as a result, people can lock their church doors to the homeless while they heat their tables and chairs in the wintertime and leave them out on the street. We're trying to develop a program right now called Women in Need of Shelter. I've written every church in the city, and I'm still waiting for one of them to respond. The hearts of many have grown cold. Jesus said it's going to happen in the last days, and we're trying to respond to this. We're trying to bring the need before the people. There are horrendous needs that we're finding. We're finding women and children in vacant buildings. We're finding people that are sick. We have teams that go out every day now finding the homeless, found a woman that was beaten up in a vacant building, took her to the hospital. They had nowhere to release her except back to her abuser and to the vacant building. But we need all over the United States to see churches open their doors. I see this happening in Springfield, Missouri, where they have a safe place to sleep is what they call it. Volunteers come and stay at the church. And women come in at night, and they go to our day center during the day in Springfield, Missouri. But it's great to see Christians that are really Christians, and that's what the world needs to see today.
You know, we so easily call ourselves believers, but yet we're not doing things every day to display Christ-like behaviors. And so we need to question what we say when we say we're believers if we're not being a part of the solution. Joyce, what are your thoughts in regards to this situation?
Hello, everybody. And Mrs. Hook, I haven't forgotten you. I'm just trying to come back. I've been on a trip, and it's just getting myself back. It takes a lot out of you nowadays when you travel. Flying is not what it used to be, so I'm just exhausted. But you're right. We have a bad situation on our hands, but we cannot depend on the government to fix it because the government is the problem. It used to be that there were institutions for sick people, sick kids, mentally ill. They weren't street bound, you know. I just saw on the national news where these organizations, they pan people to keep them drugged up in order for them to get their funding. Now, this is ridiculous. So they're not helping the sick, the mentally ill. They're hurting them. So we have to go back to the church, as Pastor Wright said, because when we look back at our ancestors and how they used to do it, they did not depend on the government because the government would fail you every time. It was the churches and the community, the backbone where we stuck together and we made these organizations within the church as what is needed. You know, we would want a faith to speak up. So we got to go back to the basics and we got to bring our young people back to the basics and let them feel more humble so they can help pull up. You know, and it used to be that the young people would take care of the elderly people. We got to train their mind to get their mindset back where it needs to be, too. Everybody of a certain age is your grandmother. Everybody of a certain age is that respected person, that yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Now, here in Arizona, what people tend to do is they take bottled water in their trunk with them because the temperatures can get as high as 122. And it hurts me to my soul to see people on the side of the street, even with kids, little kids in a shopping basket, and they asking for food and whatever. But, you know, if you got a bottle of water back there, you know, at least keep them hydrated. But we do have a desperate, desperate situation on our hands. And I just don't know where we're going, but we need a solution to the problem. So I did get your website address. I will be making contact and possibly what people can do in every city, just the little things from the little things that start. So I'm very game and helping in any way that I can to do that.
Pastor,
hit on a bit.
Why is this our federal government now taking praise and reducing the amount of people that are on food stamps and cheering about how much money they're saving and diverting back to the rich, but yet don't see the importance of, they try to vilify the people who need these programs?
Well, first of all, food stamps was set up not to help the poor, but to help rich farmers to get adequate money for their crops. They take this and they saw that if more people buying these crops, it'd help them. So it turned out, though, to be a great blessing for the poor and for the needy. But it could backfire big time on those legislators that want to cut back food stamps because they're not only going to be hurting the poor, and as they try to be vindictive toward the poor, they're going to find out they're going to start hurting farmers. They're going to start hurting the economy. Food stamps actually feed the economy. Food stamps causes Americans to buy food and helps give industry to farmers that are out there. But that being said, you know, again, I think the sister on some very important points that just spoke previously about the job of the church, even doing small things. She talked about ice water. Tomorrow we're going to fill coolers with ice water and take them out to 125 to 150 homeless people because we have an extreme heat crisis here. You know, people are hurting big time. My wife puts together little packages, and she sees homeless people, and she'll give them to them that are, say they need food, and they have food in them and a few dollars. I see somebody in need, try to give them a little bit. And then, again, trying to come up with ways to break the cycle of homelessness. We have training programs up here that homeless come into. They're actually learning broadcasting at a television station operated by homeless people, renewable energy programs they have. I mentioned to her newlifeevangelisticcenter.org website. We also got americanrenewableenergy.org website that homeless people help put that on the air. But, again, there's something that all of us can do. So we've got to stop just being, here's the word, we've got to stop being practical atheists, where we preach that we believe, but we live like there's no God. We've got to understand God is in the heavens, the day of reckoning is coming, and we need to wake up and let be the people he's called us to be. It's time to start being church and stop playing church.
You're so right. Kathy, do you have a statement for Pastor Rice, or would you like to ask him a question about the things that he's doing?
I apologize. I did come in late, so I did not get the city that he was in, city and state that he was in.
St. Louis, Missouri, up here, that we're seeing such repressive actions. Right next to Ferguson, Missouri, where they killed Michael Brown, and also where we see a lot of police action, St. Louis, Missouri, up here, that's very negative.
Okay, well,
Pastor Rice, will you give her your organization's website again?
Yes, it's newlifeevangelisticcenter.org, and that's, again, you can see the list of training centers and the like, and it's newlifeevangelisticcenter.org.
Okay, Kathy, what would you like to share with us this evening regarding, the plight of the homeless and the mentally ill that are out in out in our open city suffering?
I'd just like to commend the pastor for even coming on and sharing what his church is doing and how they are trying to bring more awareness to what's going on in these cities. We also have an outreach at our church where we go out and feed the homeless, and almost similar to what you guys are doing, but I commend you. And as the other caller said, it is not up to the government to take care of this issue. Is up to the church. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come together, as you are doing, Pastor, and making a change in these communities, because if we don't do it, then it's not going to get done. And I'm going to put your church on our prayer list, and we'll be praying for you that you continue to go forth doing the work and the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, April 2nd, they shut down our major shelter here. People were getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and being disciples. The rich folks didn't like them in the neighborhood. So now we have to go out on the streets, but we don't have a place to take them. So, again, we need prayer here, big-time prayer, because Jesus is Lord, and we're not going to let the devil win this one.
Amen.
It just seems unbelievable that our government could be so short-sighted as to not see that they need to equip every major city with a place for the poor to find refuge. It is just unbelievable that they don't understand the cost that they're creating by putting these people out on the street and not allowing you all to use those facilities to better take care of the poor. I mean, how do they just talk to you when you go to speak to them about what they're doing? Do they just think these people live in a vacuum and just make them invisible?
That's exactly what they do. They keep them on the move like cattle. Just keep moving them, chase them out of the parks, chase them out here, there, and everywhere until a person totally breaks down. It's called sleep deprivation. It's a torture in many different areas. And communities all over America tonight, Our poor people, people that are sick, mentally ill, mothers with babies, elderly, our veterans will be told, you can't sleep in this park after 10 o'clock at night. You can't lay down here. You can't stay at this church. And we see this going on and on. And then we see the government, giving verbal assent to it. For example, Housing Secretary Ben Carson pledged to Tuesday that he was going to work toward a time that when no family would have a home, and yet he's applauding the Trump administration, which he's a part of, cutting back the HUD budget from cutting it back about billions and billions of dollars, $7 billion. And, you can't have it both ways. Either we're going to fight this fight for the poor and the elderly and stand up to the rich and to the powerful, or we're going to become part of the problem if we're not part of the solution.
And just like you say, that it seems that so many people in the federal government are ill-equipped to deal with what's going on because they have no sense of it. You know, it's real hard to ask a man who's never wanted for anything to understand the plight of the poor. And certainly when we have a federal government now that is just taken over by the rich and the powerful, they have no understanding of the plight of the poor, of those who find themselves without a home or without an income.
I don't think that President Trump nor any member of his cabinet in the recent history have gotten out, walked up to a service station and filled their own gasoline tanks. They don't know how to clean their own windows. They don't know how to do any of the basic services that so many depend upon to survive today. They've lost sight. And the tragic thing is that so many people will come out and vote for these individuals, and the very individuals that are going to cut their health care, the very individuals that are going to destroy affordable housing, the very individuals that are just destroying, you know, the lifestyle of so many people. But it's not just on the federal level. I think most of the persecution and harassment, you go right back to the local level. You mentioned Orlando. The lady that heads up your program in Orlando, she came from St. Louis and was part of this here now. And there you are in Orlando where they want to arrest you for feeding the hungry out there on the street. What it is government wants to take over on a local basis. They want everyone to think they're taking care of the homeless. Churches are sitting back and letting them do it. And even if they do a halfway decent job, they're not going to preach the word of God. We've got to deal with the full person, the physical, mental, and spiritual. This is more than just giving people a place to stay and food to eat. It's helping people discover their purpose in life, discover that they're children of God, discover what it is to be a new creation in Christ, to be set free from drugs and alcohol, have their minds healed, and become a people of society as a whole. And that's what the gospel provides.
Sharon, what do you feel like the church should bring to the table in regards to servicing the poor and the homeless?
I believe that the churches should be aware of what's going on within their communities and to reach out to those homeless individuals and put together some types of program. And I mean, I know that there's a lot of grant money that would provide homes to do transitioning, you know, where homeless people can go through transitions, and also a place where they can go and to begin to get back on their feet. And just like somebody mentioned, you know, we have to deal with the mental illnesses of some of them that we not, I mean, I'm just not saying that I did not know it exists, because I lived in New Orleans, for that's where I grew up at, and I know homeless exist out there, but I guess I never got to the point where I really got that involved in it. But with the ministry here, and it's being fairly new, you know, we are always looking for ways to start to get involved in different areas. And I haven't found a church or heard of a church that has a program set up for anything dealing with homeless. But I'm definitely, you know, as a director of my mama's ministry, is going to start looking and seeking out avenues that we as the ministry, you know, can do something about it, even if it means that we try to get grant money to, you know, make a transitional housing place for those that are homeless until they can get on their feet, and offer them, you know, medical treatment, offer them education and the different things that they need to get back, you know, helping with job search and all of those things. So I'm really glad that I, you know, tuned in, because I really believe that, you know, the church should be where the help comes from. And today I find that the churches, a lot of them are looking for the dollars and not, you know, to give back out.
Well, and the Bible
and Pastor
says
Rice, Go ahead, Pastor Rice.
I was going to say, the Bible says, to him or her know it to do good and doeth it not, it's a sin. You know, a lot of this is taking place as a result of nice people who say, well, I don't do anything bad. Yes, but if we know to do good and we're not doing it, we're sinners. And Jesus himself said, on the last days, we're going to come before him and going to say, when I was hungry, did you feed me? Naked, did you clothe me? Sick or in prison, did you visit me? A stranger, homeless, did you welcome me? As oft you've done to the least of these, he said, even so you've done it unto me. So we need to be seeking God and get up and do it. You know, we can't just say, hey, I've been saved by grace, because we have been, but then it should propel us into being a people of action.
Well, let me ask you, you know, it's hard to understand where when people are out there homeless and searching for work, and then they find a job, but yet the people who want to rent them space are saying, okay, you got to have the first and last month's rent, you have to have a deposit, you got to have good credit. I mean, you're asking for people to have something that they're incapable of having when they're trying to just get back on their feet.
And that's where we are talking about the only institution in America that's made up of doctors and lawyers and janitors and people that own housing and the rest is the church. And if a church would just take one homeless family, one homeless veteran, a woman with children, and embrace them, love them, and welcome them into their family, and those other members of the congregation would help them to get started, support them when they start to stumble, be there to pick them back up. We need to support community. What we gather together, and somehow they think that the more people you get into one place every week, the bigger and bigger that place is, the more and more successful it is. But that's where Amos talked about. And again, let the eclipse be a reminder to all of us that, you know, there's a famine of the word of God right now, and the sun will go dark at noon, and things are happening at this moment. We need to wake up and start living it like Christ has called us to do.
Yeah, it is so sad that we have people who want to build these Taj Mahals, and like you said, not willing to open up even the, an area where people could just lay their head and find refuge from the cold. It is sad that, you know, we all have these fellowship halls that are outside the church, that at least those areas might be opened up to people who are homeless.
That's true. It takes faith and it takes courage, because nobody wants to ruffle the feathers. Nobody wants to, they're afraid, what are everybody going to say? What if the neighbors don't like it? Somehow we just got to do what God has called us to do and find a way to do it. And it seemed like every door is shut. We got to keep knocking. That's what he said. He said that the woman just kept knocking at the door, the unjust judge, and kept knocking and knocking, talking, until he got fed up with her and gave her the justice. And he said, how much more so are the people of God in this time of injustice? We give up too quick. We need to start beating on the door till we get justice.
Amen.
All right, we're going to take another break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Father, help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. That heaven might find a place in their hearts. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. We've got to walk on through temptation, 'cause He loves.
and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and his word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful. That Jesus is love. He won't let you die.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. DeShay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. DeShay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. DeShay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmap to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I this woman.
Population to get more involved and to care more about those who find themselves in this hopeless situation?
We have to get out and help do the work. I mean, even as the pastor was saying, you know, he needs help. He's getting his congregation together. Now he's on the show, and we as soldiers, I mean, we have to get out and begin to assist in that. As I think I heard one of the ladies said that she has water in her car. You know, you don't have to be with a group of people to pass out water. You don't have to be with a group of people to stop and hand somebody a coat or shoes, whatever it is that you have. I mean, that's the example right there. And when other people see you doing it, they'll do it as well, because people have carry stuff in their car. So we have to be the example. And thank you, Pastor, again, for coming on and sharing and letting us know what the great things that are going on over there in your state and in your city. And we appreciate it.
Well, thank you. But again, I feel like it.
Go on, Pastor Rice.
I just feel like it's so little compared to all that needs to be done. The needs are so great. And so we've got to take them to God daily. I mean, for us to do nothing is sin. Sin spelled backwards, though, instead of S-I-N, it's N-I-S. Now I surrender. Lord, I want to surrender to you. Guide each one of us. Direct each one of us. Show us what we can do individually, what we can do as a corporate body. Because, Lord, someday we know that we're going to stand before you, and we got to live your life.
Joyce, what is it that you believe that we're committed to do as believers? You know, we so easily say on our show, you know, we're believers, but we have to make we have to be committed to display that behavior as well, don't we?
Of course, and plus we have to be able to challenge the system when and call the system out when they're wrong. Waiting on the government to do things is a blind. It's just waiting on a blind ear. You indicated that no congressman, either Senate, congressman, they have no idea what is happening in our streets. First of all, we got to get some people in government who can understand and who can relate. That's what we need to do, and that begins on the local level. What can we do as churches? We can make a list out of some of the things and let our congregation know what they can do by stepping up to the plate as well. We have to communicate. We got to do that. We got to bring everything back to the community on a local level. We have to stick up for ourselves and be ready to act. So that's what we can do. As also, churches, you need to use your educators. You got all these people with degrees. You got them degree in medicine. You got them degree in government. You got to ask the church, got to ask them to give of themselves at least one day a month to look and heal the sick in your community. Help them do their taxes. Be able to go with them to rent a home, not a home, but an apartment to get them started. That's what we can do, and that's what the church can do on a local level, and just the little things that we have to be creative in thinking as to what we can do. Our ancestors, that's how they did it. That's how they did it. I remember that when my mom then was voting, they used to go in cars and get people to take them to the poll and stuff like that. We would go by and stop by and get Mrs. Ann and pick her up and take her to the church. We got to go back to the basics. That's what I think that can happen. Thank you.
Sharon, how do we turn this thing around? We've already heard Pastor Rice talk about how overwhelming it is and how the resources seem to be getting less and less. How can we turn this around?
I believe that we as individuals, it can start with us. I'm pretty sure that each one of us is in a church. We can find out, probably already know, if the church is doing something as far with the homeless. If not, then, you know, we always creating different ministries within the church. This can be a ministry that starts up in the church. You know, with me, myself personally, my mama is a minister at a church, and she have her own ministry, personal ministry. And I know for a fact that there's nothing in the church that she goes to. So we got to start doing our part. You know, just like the pastor said, that, you know, we got to be a part of the solution. We got to get up and do what the word tells us to do, or we are not being obedient to the word. And, you know, sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And like I said, you know, before, this has really enlightened me. And being, you know, with the platform that you have given us and so many people to come on and share information, things that we may not have been aware of, you know, that now, you know, me personally, I'm more aware of it. And because I'm a director of a ministry. I know what we can put in place, you know, and how we can find people, just like the last caller said. You know, we got to begin to use these people that's out here. We got to go out here and make them aware of what they're not aware of and make a difference. Start being a part of the solution.
All right, we're going to take our final break, and then I'm going to come back to all of you and ask you to give your final thought for this evening.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshaies, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
Feels so good to make it this far, and I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit. I said, surely this is it, but I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away. And it hurt so much, I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I fell, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life. For every victory in you I've could have been one of the ones who lost my way. And there were times, Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Oh, but I'm still here, oh, with my life. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Pastor Rice, I'm going to ask you to give your final thought for this evening and also give my audience the information they need to reach out to you and support your efforts. And I really hope that we can stay in touch and that you'll consider possibly coming back at least once a month to talk to my audience.
Well, I'd love to do that. In fact, what I also would encourage you to do is to talk to some of my associates. I've got some very dedicated people that are out on the front lines every day, some of which have been even previously homeless themselves. So we'd be happy to do that, both myself personally as well as I'd like to incorporate some of these dedicated staff. But that being said, I would encourage people to go to newlifeevangelisticcenter.org, the website. That's newlifeevangelisticcenter.org. I would ask them to please pray at this particular time. These are very difficult times. The war on poverty has become the war on the impoverished, the homeless, the least of these, the very ones that Jesus told us we need to be defending at this hour. The hour is late. He said in the last days the love of many would grow cold. Each one of us have to search our own hearts, our own minds. Where are we going with our lives? Are we giving the Lord our lives or our excuses? So it's time that we arise at this particular moment and stop edging God out, E-G-O, edging God out. You know, we've got to stop doing it. It's referred to as the ego, and that means humbling ourselves before the Lord and realizing that Christ has called us. He's given us an opportunity, and he says that we're entertaining angels unaware, he tells us in the book of Hebrews, by reaching out to the homeless and the hurting.
All right. Sharon, what are your final thoughts for today?
My final thought is that we should find out as much information as we possibly could as far as what's going on with homelessness in our community, and that we definitely should be a part of the solution.
All right, Joyce, your final thought for this evening?
My final thought would be don't be afraid to ask the church to develop a program, something, and it can be the simplest little thing as far as helping the homeless, especially in hot temperatures and that weather element, you know. We have to get the people that are so comfortable out in the street to be able to touch, relate, communicate, and I think getting a start with professionals and getting them into wine and with someone who needs to help, I think that's a good step. I know that in all these churches, we have professionals in all fields. We have them in legal. We have them in health care. We have that. So we can ask them to dedicate at least one day out of a month to give back to the community, and you'd be surprised. I think most of them would be willing to do that. So that's a good start, I think.
All right. Kathy, your final thought for this evening?
I'd just like to share a scripture, and it's the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. So we have to pray that these people do get up and get out and begin to work in the harvest, because it's out there, like the pastor said. You know, he needs help. We need help. We need help. Every person represented on here is a state where we can go out and we can be that example to help, that example of Christ to be able to share the gospel with people and also to be to fulfill whatever the need is.
And as always, guys, I just want to say to you, I thank you for your commitment and your support to calling into the show. I want to thank Pastor Rice for being willing to call in and make us aware of what he is doing and what is needed throughout the country. Pastor, I also want to let you know that I'm committed to providing a platform for those who work with you, and that at least we'd like to have you at least once a month to schedule a time, call in and talk to us and encourage us to be better servants, to be better trustees, and do the things that God calls us to do as believers. We are not necessarily a religious show, but we are part of the things that are going on in our world. And if we call ourselves believers, then we still have to do the right thing and be a part of all aspects of what's going on in our society. So I thank you, and I want to call to action those who are out there listening to make sure you go to the website, Pastor Rice's website, and do what it is you can, pray and give donations to assist them in the work that they're trying to do. And I want you all to continue to call. We got a few minutes left, Pastor Rice, if you'd like to say a few more things.
I'd like to stress something. I talked a lot about the needs of the homeless, but what about us as human beings? We need the homeless as much as the homeless need us. We need to understand God's hospitality, and we only will when we start providing hospitality. We need to understand and see Jesus in the least of these. He said, as oft you've done to the least of these, he said, even so you've done it unto me. We need to understand that God has blessed us and given us opportunities to help the homeless, and he set the pattern. His own son was born and laid in a manger. He was homeless. He didn't have a place. He was laid in a borrowed tomb. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but he, the Son of Man, had nowhere to lay his head. We need to discover Jesus in the faces and the lives of the hurting and the homeless. We need the homeless as much as they need us. We need the purpose God has given us. We need the direction that he can provide for us. So right now, I'd say each one of us need to understand that we need to get busy. The hour is late. God is calling us, and someday he's going to ask us, why didn't you do it?
And you are so right. We have to give an account for what it is that we do. You know, we spend so much time working. We spend so much time entertaining ourselves, and then we spend time sleeping. So certainly we need to carve out some time to serve and do what is the best and what God calls us to do. Again, as always, I'm going to ask you guys to call into the show and be a part of my show. It is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturdays and Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. We're here so your voice can be heard loud and clear. I look forward to you all calling in and being a part of the solution and not part of the problem. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. on Friday, Eastern Time, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, as we seek to become aware of the issues that impact our lives today and in the future.
Loving you is easy because you're beautiful.